This is KFCF 88.1 FM in Fresno. Stay tuned next for Down in the Valley with Lloyd Carter.
Lost on the river, dark is the night, just like the blind praying for sight, drifting along.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Lloyd Carter. This is Down in the Valley, a monthly show that focuses on ag, water, and environment issues in the San Joaquin Valley. I think we're going to have an interesting show for you today. We're going to interview David Cobb, who's the Green Party nominee for president in 2004. Mr. Cobb, are you on the phone? You're there? Mr. Cobb? Hello.
Hello, this is David.
Oh, hi, David. This is Lloyd Carter here. Pleasure to get you. I understand you're down in the valley campaigning today.
That's true. I am, Lloyd.
Let me just briefly tell our listeners a little bit about your background, David, and then we'll get into some issues. It's been an interesting week for the Green Party.
It has indeed.
I had a chance to listen to your debate with Peter Camejo earlier in the week on KPFA. And I saw that the executive committee of the Green Party declined the opportunity to open up putting Ralph Nader back as a presidential nominee. And I don't want to get into a lot of Green Party politics because we've got some real serious environmental issues here in the San Joaquin Valley. And hopefully you can, at least in general terms, address what you would do as president to solve some of our problems, both here in the Valley and California and nationwide. For our listeners who aren't familiar with David Cobb, he grew up in a small shrimping town in Texas, San Leon, Texas, and he worked in construction for several years before he went to college. He saw up close and personal how the system is designed to prevent working class people from getting ahead. He waited tables to put himself through college, and he graduated from the University of Houston Law School in 1993. He's the grandson of a Baptist preacher, and he was general counsel for the Green Party and got involved in Green Party politics in the year 2000 when Ralph Nader asked him to manage the Green Party effort. He coordinated the ballot access drive in Texas that collected over 76,000 signatures in 75 days, and he ran for attorney general. David now lives in Eureka, California, and he's been traveling the country as the Green Party presidential candidate. David, what is your impression? Are you familiar with our issues here in the San Joaquin Valley?
Well, I am certainly familiar, Lloyd, with several of the issues that face California, and as somebody who comes from a rural upbringing, I know what the issues are for small ranchers and small farmers as it relates to agribusiness issues. So, yes, I am.
Well, the irony, of course, is as you're probably all too well aware, that 2,000 farmers a week disappear in America, and corporate agriculture gets bigger and stronger. One of the issues here in the Valley, of course, is the raisin farmers are in desperate straits. It costs them more money to produce their crop than they can get on the market. Producers of several other commodities are also in terrible shape. The plight of the family farmer for several decades now in the Valley has always been how just to stay afloat. And the subsidy money, which amounts to billions of dollars nationwide, doesn't seem to be doing much to help the family farmer.
Well, Lloyd, that's right, and that's because the subsidies that were created ostensibly to help the family farmers have actually all been captured and are now going into those same corporate farming interests. The reality is that U.S. agricultural policy, just like all other policies, have been hijacked by corporations and big fat cats and are designed to benefit them instead of the people. Whether it's agricultural policy or health care policy or transportation policy, the reality is that we the people do not control our own government. We the people do not control our own institutions. We the people do not control our own culture. The reality is that unelected, unaccountable corporate CEOs have hijacked our government, our institutions, and they're defining our culture. And the Green Party is an opportunity for people to vote for a change, to vote for peace instead of war, to vote for environmental protection instead of environmental degradation, an opportunity to vote for sustainability instead of destruction, an opportunity to vote for social justice instead of oppression. So I'm urging people, don't waste your vote anymore on the corporate parties. Invest your vote in the Green Party. Invest your vote in the future.
Now, David, I happen to be a member of the Green Party. Life here in the San Joaquin Valley, which usually in the last few elections has gone Republican in the presidential races, the Democrats tend to be more conservative. And but I've noticed among both parties, whether there are congressmen or Republicans or Democrat, they all vote for the current, you know, corporate agribusiness dominated system here in the Valley. They may differ on some social issues, but when it comes to corporate agriculture, promotion of for the pesticide companies, et cetera, members of both parties always vote the same way. They vote whatever the Farm Bureau, big agriculture wants.
It's true, Lloyd, and you know, I think that it's important to remember that the Farm Bureau was actually originally formed by individual farmers in order to take their future into their own hands. It's been captured by the big corporations. So we're saying, understand that the Democrats and the Republicans alike have both conspired to create a system that is actually working against the best interests of the people of this country. And so we're urging folks to join the Green Party, register into the Green Party, vote for the Green Party, not just for president, but for Congress, for State House, for school board. There are fine Green Party candidates in your listening area, and we need your vote. The other thing, Lloyd, I want to just take this opportunity to invite people to come and meet me in person at the home of a supporter, Mark Stout, tonight at 7 p.m., at 1314 North Adeline Avenue at Hedges, and I'll give the telephone number a couple of times, but you can call 265-3647 or email Mark Stout, S-T-O-U-T 2003 at yahoo.com, because I'd love the opportunity for your listeners to get a chance to for us to meet in person and to ask any questions that they have. So come on out tonight at 7 p.m., 1314 North Adeline Avenue at Hedges, and meet an actual presidential candidate who won't take any corporate money.
Well, there you go. David, now, for those of us who are Greens or independents or even Democrats or Republican disgusted with the way that the two major parties are operating, of course, we have a local congressional candidate in the 19th district here, Larry Mullen, who I strongly support, but a lot of Greens and independents of a good faith and good intentions are wrestling with, you know, the lesser of two evils syndrome with Kerry and Bush on the presidential level. In California, it looks fairly certain that Kerry's going to win anyway, so we can probably go ahead and vote our consciences. What is your position in the close states? If you've got a good Green who understands that the two-party system is not healthy for democracy, but under no circumstances wants to see four more years of Bush.
Well, you know, Lloyd, that's a good point, because I think one of the reasons I've gotten so much support from Greens across the country is because I've been willing to tell the truth. I've been willing to point out that although John Kerry is a corporatist and a militarist, that George W. Bush is qualitatively worse. And it does us no good to say that there's no difference between Kerry and Bush. There is a difference. The differences may be merely incremental, but they are not inconsequential. George Bush has declared war on the rest of the world. He declared war on American workers. He declared war on the environment. George Bush is a disaster. So I tell the truth everywhere I go, and the truth is that Kerry's a militarist and a corporatist, Bush is worse, and at the end of the day, if we want to take our country back and have peace, justice, democracy, and ecology in this country, we got to be willing to vote for the Green Party candidates, because the Green Party candidates are the only candidates running on the issues of ending the war in Iraq, having publicly funded elections, having real environmental protection, universal health care for all, raising the minimum wage to a living wage. Lloyd, if we want to if we want that kind of change, we got to be willing to vote for it. But we also have to be willing to tell the truth. And the truth is that Bush is a disaster. But the other truth, Lloyd, is that in California, polls show that Kerry is going to win between 1.9 and 1.5 million votes. It's a runaway here. So if every single listener of this program were to vote for David Cobb and the Green Party, John Kerry would still win the state of California. So it, don't waste your vote, progressives. Invest your vote.
David, let's get specific now in terms of agriculture in this valley. First of all, let's assume you're elected president. What do you propose when you get to Washington next January?
Well, let me tell you, the first thing that I would be doing is to get the United States out of the World Trade Organization and out of the North American Free Trade Agreement, which has actually been devastating for agricultural policy in this country. There is a big lie that has been perpetrated on American workers and American farmers that these corporate-managed trade system would actually benefit them. It has not. It has only benefited the large transnational agribusiness corporations. So the first thing I would do to be able to benefit the farmers and farming communities like here in the Valley would be to end the corporate-managed trade regime that's devastating our economy and our and especially the economy here. The second thing I'd do is the same thing that Jim Hightower did whenever he was elected to agricultural commissioner in Texas, and that is to actually start to invest resources of the Department of Agriculture into organic farming, into markets, you know, farmers markets, and to be able to escape the really treacherous system where farmers are hijacked by the big corporate distribution systems, and say, you know, we want to put together CSAs or community supported agriculture where farmers are actually able to provide the food to people in their local areas. You know, and then the third thing that I would do is use the office of the President of the United States for the bully pulpit to tell the truth about the toxic chemical-laden fertilizers and pesticides that are currently being used that are used as a very short-term increase in yield that are poisoning the people, poisoning the planet, and will ultimately cause lower and lower yields. You know, Lloyd, we got to start telling the truth about the dangerous path that that this society is on, and the Green Party is the only political party willing to tell those truths.
David, I'm going to wade into, that's probably the appropriate term here, the controversial issue in this valley, which is always water. Now, as you probably know, the east side of the valley is irrigated by the San Joaquin River primarily, but also the smaller rivers, the Kern, the Tule, the Kings, all the way up to the Delta, all the rivers coming out of the Sierra, which are almost all consumed in their entirety by agriculture. On the west side of the valley, much of the water that irrigates the big land-bearing operations out on the west side comes from your part of the state.
Yep.
In particular, the Trinity River is fundamentally diverted, about 80-90% of it, and comes down to grow crops on the west side of the valley, a substantial portion of which is surplus cotton. Now, what are you going to do? Obviously, we want to see that the legitimate needs of agriculture for water are met, but we seem to be using huge amounts of water to grow crops that are merely in surplus, cotton being the best example.
Well, you know, Lloyd, I really appreciate how you framed that question. You're right. The Green Party calls for making sure that legitimate agricultural needs, and especially agricultural needs of family farmers, family ranchers, are being met. But all of the diversion of this water is being sucked up by greedy transnational corporate agriculture. And that's got to stop. you know, we are on a we are really on a crash course here if we don't turn things around. And there is, thankfully, even right now, there's still plenty of water to go around if it was used appropriately and managed wisely. It is not being managed wisely. It is not being used fairly. And the Green Party is going to tell that truth as well. You know, we got to take our country back from these big corporations, whether it's in agriculture or health care or our transportation policies. At the end of the day, the Green Party is calling for a peaceful, nonviolent revolution in this country where the people rise up and start to demand that we are allowed to create our own institutions. And if we did, we would change this country.
Let me ask you a specific question about water issues. Much of this valley, of course, is irrigated by the federal government projects through reclamation law. And, you know, originally reclamation law was intended for a family farmer of 160 or 320 acres. And then 22 years ago, they bumped it up to 960 acres. But there are loopholes large enough to drive trucks through in which there is unlimited cheap water for leased acreage, which lends itself to corporate agriculture. Would you end the leasing loophole for federally subsidized water?
Yes, but only the loopholes that relate to those large loopholes that you just described. The policy and the program originally under reclamation was and continues to be a good idea for appropriate scale family farms, and I would continue that. But I would absolutely change the reclamation that allows 900 acres, 1,000 acres, and others. We got to be willing to understand that we are not being served as workers, as consumers, by corporate policies like the one you've just described.
Let me turn to another environmental subject, David, which is on the minds of all parents in this valley and all people for that matter, and that's air quality. You probably know that we have some of the worst air quality here in America in the San Joaquin Valley. The childhood asthma rate is atmospheric. I think it's second or third in the country. The number one reason for kids calling in sick to school is asthma attacks and respiratory problems. What can you do as president or tell the people of this valley about how to clean up the air?
Well, you know, Lloyd, it's another example of of how corporations have hijacked our institutions, because the reality is that the air quality could be solved over time. It will take time, but we've got to wean ourselves off of the addiction to fossil fuels, oil, natural gas, and coal-fired power plants, and move towards solar energy, geothermal energy, and wind-produced electrical energy. And if we did that, we would be able to start cleaning up the air quality, not just here in the valley, but throughout the country and throughout the world. It is a dangerous problem. Air quality is an issue that people only mouth about, Republicans and Democrats, but they don't actually address what is causing the air quality, which is the production of and use of coal and oil-fired plants, and also allowing loopholes on industrial pollution. You know, the Green Party has concrete plans for all of these, and I want to urge your listeners to come on out to 1314 North Adeline Avenue at Hedges tonight, 7 p.m. Give Mark a call at 265-3647 to get specific directions, or go to my website at www.votecobb.org and learn more about this campaign and get involved in the Green Party. The reality is the Green Party is getting larger, stronger, and better organized with every election cycle. We're electing more people. Whenever this movement gets enough traction, we'll be able to address air quality issues for real.
David, for those folks who aren't clear, what is your position in the very close states where it's a toss-up? What are you telling people of conscience out there, independents, Greens, whatever party, in the Kerry Bush race, how should they vote?
Well, you know, first of all, I can't tell anybody how to vote because they're going to vote. You know, all I can do is tell the truth, Lloyd. Now, the truth is that Kerry's a corporatist and a militarist, and that George Bush is even worse. I would, if I lived in a super close swing state, I personally would vote for the Green Party because I think that's the only way to actually make change. That's what my conscience tells me. I respect, though, people whose conscience tells them that they have to hold their nose and vote against Bush by pulling a lever for Kerry. So I guess what I'm trying to say, Lloyd, is that I am telling people to vote their conscience. But we should understand that progressives and even, just Americans of goodwill will have differences of opinion. And at the end of the day, I'm saying I respect those differences. I'm trying to encourage people to vote for the Green Party up and down the ballot. And that's what I'm telling them, including in swing states.
I noticed, David, you're a lawyer, I'm a lawyer, and I heard a great line the other day about this race, why we need to get Bush out of there, because this election is about the Supreme Court. And as a lawyer, I'm sure you're acutely aware that one of the night and day differences between Kerry and Bush is the caliber of the judicial appointments. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, there's no doubt that it would be frightening to allow George Bush to make appointments to the federal judiciary. And I acknowledge that. That is another of the things that distinguish me as an alternative party candidate is my willingness to tell the truth. You know, Lloyd, there is a difference between Kerry and Bush. We can't ignore that. There is a difference. And appointments to the Supreme Court and to the federal judiciary is one of those places where you see that distinction. But even digging deeper, Lloyd, as a lawyer, you and I know that currently the legal system is flawed because it's designed to protect the property interests of corporations instead of the human rights of individuals. We need to change not just a few elected officials and not even just a few judges. At the end of the day, we got to change our legal system so that human rights are more sacred than property rights. That's the level at which we need systemic change. It's not just electoral reform. It's not just legal reform. We need to change our culture, and the Green Party is calling for cultural change that will manifest itself up and down up throughout our society.
You know, David, one of the things that struck me in law school, I'm sure it struck you, and it's one of the things that I've, in researching your background, I see that you want to abolish when you're elected, which is the elimination of corporate personhood. That is, that corporations can acquire all the attributes of a human being. And in this valley in particular, not only can they have a lot of the attributes of a normal person, but they can vote. Corporations can vote in water districts as a result of a Supreme Court case that came out of the Tulare Lake Basin 31 years ago. And I don't know if you're familiar with the case, but Justice Douglas, in his stirring dissent, said that this created a corporate kingdom undreamt of by those who founded our country.
Well, Justice Douglas is correct, Lloyd, and it is appalling that the people of this area have not risen up in righteous indignation over the idea that corporations can vote in any election. That is an absurdity, and it is a profanity against the entire notion of democratic elected self-government. The idea that a corporation can claim constitutional rights perverts the entire premise of the constitutional promise of democratic self-government. So we need to overturn and abolish that legal doctrine, and we need to start creating new institutions where the people can rule. Right now, see, Lloyd, I don't even talk anymore about corporate power. I talk about corporate rule because corporations are ruling us. And just as the founders of this country understood that unelected, unaccountable kings were illegitimate as rulers, so too today must we acknowledge and say the truth that unelected, unaccountable corporate CEOs as rulers is illegitimate, and we the people need to rise up in nonviolent, peaceful rebellion to say, ya basta, enough already. We are going to demand change, and the Green Party is the political arm of that change. And so anybody listening to this conversation who knows that we're telling the truth and knows we need that level of systemic change, I'm going to challenge you, then put, if you know we're telling the truth, then register into the Green Party. Vote for Larry Mullen for U.S. Congress. Vote for David Cobb for President of the United States. Register into the Green Party. Vote for the Green Party so that we can change this country.
David, we only have a few more minutes before the end of the show. The time has flown. Right at the end, I want you to mention, again, Mark Stout's address and phone number for people who might like to meet you tonight. You briefly mentioned transportation, and I wanted to talk for a minute about trains in the San Joaquin Valley. Anybody who's been to Europe or Japan or many other countries know that the trains run fast, they're on time, they're economical, and here in the United States, for whatever reason, the railroads are a joke, but here in the San Joaquin Valley, you may not know, there's about 20,000 trucks, big trucks a day, that run up and down Highway 99 and another 15,000 out on Interstate 5. These are a major contributor to our air quality problems, and it occurred to me, why can't the, for especially for the trucks just passing through the valley, why couldn't we put them on flatbed rail cars and move them in and out of the valley to reduce our air problems? So tell me how you think about rail.
Well, Lloyd, I agree with you. And if we, the people, actually controlled the decision-making authority around transportation, we would be using trains, passenger trains for travel, and also freight trains. You know, the reality is that the oil corporations conspired to destroy the trolley system in every city in the United States, and they have also conspired to create a completely wasteful transportation system in this country. I am an absolute supporter of a massive investment into rail, and think about it, Lloyd. It would put hundreds of thousands of people to work at good-paying jobs to create the rail system. It would save the air quality. It would save all the waste of fossil fuel use. I mean, it just makes good sense. And if we, the people, actually controlled transportation policy, there's no way that we would intentionally have this system that only benefits the very wealthy elite in this country. And I do want to mention, as you asked me to do, again, hope you've got your listeners have had a chance to get a pencil out, so you can call Mark Stout, where I'll be tonight at 7 p.m. Call Mark at 265-3647, and the address where we're going to be tonight is 1314 North Adeline Avenue at Hedges. I'd love the opportunity to meet listeners of this community radio station. And I do want to just conclude with this. Whether you agree or disagree with anything that you've just been hearing, know that the only reason you've heard this conversation is because you're listening to community radio, non-corporately filtered source of news, information, and analysis. So even if you don't agree with me, I hope you'll make sure to join this radio station, that you'll support this radio station during the next pledge drive, because the only way that we're going to be able to have democracy in this country is if we've got an opportunity to have some democratic media. This community radio station is providing a valuable resource for the San Joaquin Valley, and I'm proud that I've been a chance to be a part of it.
Thank you, David. I think we've got about one more minute, and I just want to get a little bit into the horse race, which is what the mainstream media likes to do, and which I hate. But nevertheless, I know you're a realist, and I know you've made public comments. You may not win this election, but what you're really interested in is building the party. Now tell me practically what kinds of percentages do you hope to get in California?
Well,
and
I'll
how would that
you.
Compare to 2000 when Nader was the candidate?
You know, look, Ralph Nader is a famous person. So to compare David Cobb in 2004 to Ralph Nader in 2000 for vote percentages is not really where I'm looking at. Here's how I'm going to be able to determine whether we succeeded or not. Did we register more people into the Green Party? Are there more registered Greens at the end of this election cycle? Secondly, did we help local candidates get elected? You know, the third thing is, have we helped to create more local chapters of the Green Party? Fourth, have we energized and inspired more people to get involved in the Green Party? You know, register into the Green Party and then start coming to local Green Party meetings and participate in taking our country back. So I am a realist, and I don't expect that I am artic-